thought the Wizard of Oz was bad. With Oz and that big face, I am the great and powerful Oz. Wasn't that scary enough? I mean, it was so scary that the cowardly lion turned tail. Literally, he had a very long tail that twitched and switched and ran pell-mell out the window, jumped out the window. Couldn't take it anymore. Left a puddle of urine, I'm thinking, too, in his wake. And that was scary enough. That scared the daylights out of me as a kid. See that great face, the great and powerful Oz. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zunder. A little movie trivia for you there. That the Cowardly Lion left a puddle of pee. Nobody knows that but me. I know that had to happen. The guy was such a coward, he hadn't got his heart yet, had he? So, right, the Tin Man wanted the heart. The Cowardly Lion needed courage. What makes a king of the beast a king of the beast? Courage. Oh, sneaking up on me, yay. Love that guy, Bert Lahr. Anyway, listen to this. Listen to what we're going to talk about, the universal convocation. This is a really difficult passage of Hebrews here, I think. It's very mysterious, and I'm sure there was a lot of arguing about this when this letter was read in the synagogues. People are going, what does he mean? Well, naturally, because it's written by the Apostle Paul. And when you read Paul, it's like, what exactly is he trying to say but can't quite get across? So we find out that now the Israelites to whom Paul is writing, the Hebrews, have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God. And all this is an improvement on the scariness of Mount Sinai. Celestial Jerusalem to 10,000 messengers, which in this case is a good thing. Remember, we contrasted that with the messengers who brought the law. Now they're protecting the Israelites, helping them along on their path to a universal convocation. What an interesting term, a universal convocation. That is pregnant with something. That phrase is about to have a baby. Universal convocation. I think I should call one of these. I'm gonna email everyone someday and say Martin Zunder is calling for a universal convocation. I think that sounds very elegant, very important, and it is. I'm going to show you where it is on the unveiling. And to the ecclesia of the firstborn, registered in the heavens, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the just perfected. I don't really think I know what that means. The spirits of the just perfected. That bothers me. The whole phrase bothers me. The spirits of the just perfected. I am agitated by that verse. And I'm not sure I'm going to be able to explain that to you because I don't know what it means myself. So I'm convinced I'm not going to be able to explain that to you. And to Jesus, the mediator of a fresh covenant. Now I'm getting back into familiar territory. And to the blood of sprinkling, which is speaking better than Abel. The blood of sprinkling, this heralds back to Egypt. When the remember, this whole book of Hebrews is preparing the Israelites to come through the womb of the new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Not you, Nicodemus, but ye Israelites, you people. It's a plural. Ye must be born again. And Isaiah 66 prophesy concerning a nation being born at one time. And when a woman has a baby, I've seen this for myself three times, it is not a pretty sight. It's a push, it's a pain, it's a hurt. There's a lot of grunting and groaning, even screaming, and it's agony. And Israel is at the door of the womb, and they are being attended. Instead of midwives, they're being attended by angels. And it's such an important time in world history that there is a universal convocation at the door. Just like my mother-in-law was there when Marcia had our second baby, Luke, and her sister-in-law was there, and I was there. It was a convocation. And there's even more people after the baby. People convocate. Some would say congregate, but not Paul. No, it's a convocation. I don't know what the difference is between a convocation and a congregation, but I intend to find out. And I might keep it to myself because that is something I'd want to hold on to like an ace I can play sometime at a Bible study. When somebody says, that's a nice congregation, I beg your pardon, sir, that is a convocation. And then I can elaborate on the difference. But until that time, we'll just trust that it's a convocation. So this important time in history is, oh, don't think we will. Don't think we won't be there. People say, people are upset that they think we're going to miss out on stuff because we're in the body of Christ and we're going to be snatched away and taken to heaven. And people lament, like, I want to be on the earth during the 1,000 years. It sounds so wonderful. There's not going to be any more disturbing weather patterns. I know what you mean. Yeah. And every thorn on the rose bush is going to bloom. Did you know that? That a thorn is really a stunted rose? And you understand that God cursed the ground for Adam's sake. So now he had to work, which is good for you. He did that for Adam. So he has to till. He has to spread cow crap on it and make it grow. And but he only barely ekes out an existence from that topsoil. Now, every thorn on a rose is a stunted rose. So just imagine when God removes the curse on the earth and you don't have to till the soil anymore or spend more time getting the weeds out than you do picking your crops, and every thorn becomes a rose. It's going to be beautiful. You won't be ordering a dozen roses anymore. It'll be like 100 dozen roses. It'll be easy as you like. And I'm thinking that then in the 1,000 years, 100 dozen roses will be the cost of a dozen roses today. This is Martin Zenner's prediction, and don't doubt me, folks. So, a universal convocation. Now, I'm going to read from the Concordant Commentary here, because I learned a lot from this, and I use it as a guide, and I check up on this stuff. Some stuff I doubt, but most of it is like, yeah, that makes total sense. You can get this from Pilkington & Sons, studyshelf.com. It's the handiest thing ever. It's a very thin book. Nobody says more in fewer words than A.E. Nock, and he was the compiler of the Concordant version, and he wrote the Concordant Commentary on the New Testament. And he says this: the universal convocation here referred to is probably, now see, he's not 100% sure, and I'm not 100% sure either, but we're going to look into this because it's very interesting, this convocation that gathers in heaven to witness the next great thing on God's calendar, which is the bringing of Israel through the birth canal into the 1,000-year kingdom. What? Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, that's the second next thing. Right. The biggest thing to happen on the divine calendar coming up, the next great thing, is the snatching away of the body of Christ. That's true. The universal convocation here referred to is probably that which is convoked, by the way, convoked at the opening of the day of the Lord. Opening. The opening? That's suggestive to me. Opening of the womb. When the representatives of the whole creation. Did you know that there were representatives of the whole creation? Oh, yeah. I'm going to show you this in the unveiling chapter 4 here. Are summoned together before the judgments which usher in the kingdom are visited on the earth. Revelation 4. Verse 5. Let's go there now. We are going to do it because we're only 8 minutes into the show. This is fantastic. I'm really making progress here. I'm pleased with myself. We're going to go to the unveiling, Revelation, and we're in chapter 4. And I had it bookmarked, but I just lost it. All right, here we go. After these things, I perceived, John speaking from the island of Patmos, has no idea what he's seeing. This guy is sitting there. He's either in a rented home of some kind. I don't think he's in a prison. He might be, we picture him in the paintings, sitting on a rock by the sea, and he's looking up in the heaven and seeing things. I don't think so. I think he's got a very rugged room, some kind of a cabin, an outpost of some kind, and he's sitting on something that looks like a picnic table, and he doesn't have to be looking up into the sky. He's seeing these things in his mind, and it's a vision. And a vision is things that are happening, only they're not happening then, but they're happening at the time they're happening, which is to say in the future. And John is going to a time in the future. He's not seeing a vision of the future. He is going to the future. And like Paul, he was not aware if he was in a body or out of a body. But he said, I came to be in the day of the Lord. Or he called it the Lord's Day. And it's not Sunday. The Lord's Day is not Sunday. There are three main days in God's operation. There's the day of man, the day of the Lord, and there's God's day. Now, we're going to go over this when we get to the book of Revelation, but the day of man, we're living in it. Man is given his so-called reign to do what he wants. This is all relative because all is of God. The day of the Lord's day is not Sunday, for the love of God. The Lord's day is the 1,000 years. That's when the Lord reigns in Jerusalem with the 12, with David, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then there's the day of God, to usher in the day of God. This is in the unveiling as well. And the day of God is the fifth eon, when God dwells with mankind. So we see a progression in the Aeonian times. From man's day, it stinks, to the Lord's day, vast improvement, to the day of God, which is a, I'd say the day of God is exponentially greater than the 1,000 years. It's not twice the 1,000 years. I think it's way, way, many, many, many times greater than the 1,000 years. That's what God's working for. Eon 5. So after these things I perceived, John is seeing something, and he describes it specifically, and he doesn't really know what he's saying. He just describes it as he sees it, and God has to explain him what it is. A door is open in heaven. How exciting would that be? And lo, the first sound which I hear is as a trumpet. See, it's not a trumpet. It's as a trumpet. You have to pay attention to these little words. And when we get here later, we're going to look at these words. As a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will be showing you what must be occurring after these things. Now immediately, I came to be in spirit. Whatever that means. I came to be in spirit. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? In spirit. Ugh. I feel like my kids, I used to tell my kids that God didn't have a beginning or an end. And they used to get so frustrated, they'd jump up and down on the bed screaming. Didn't have a beginning, didn't have an end. And they'd practically be crying because they couldn't figure it out. I came in spirit. I'm going to think about this. I'll have an answer for you when we get to Revelation. I came to be in spirit. And lo, a throne located in heaven. And on the throne, one sitting. And he who is sitting is, to my vision, like a jasper stone and a carnelian. And a rainbow around the throne is, to my vision, like an emerald. It isn't an emerald. It's like an emerald. And around the throne, I perceived 24 thrones. Well, I can get into this big time, but I got to save it. And on the 24 thrones, elders, ancient ones. Elders is translated ancients. There are 24, just this for now, briefly. There are 24 authorities, sovereignties, in charge of celestial realms. And this is very interesting because on earth we have 12. Whenever you see the number 12 in the scripture, 12 is a number of earthly administrations. And there are 12 tribes of Israel and there are 12 apostles. And there are 12 gates to the New Jerusalem with the names of the apostles on them. So 12 is the number of earthly administration. There's double that in the celestial realm. There is also an administration. Remember, things we see on earth are a reflection of governments, powers, principalities in the heavens. We're just a reflection of what's going on a much larger scale. And there are 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and on their heads golden wreaths. So these are beings of great authority. And I believe they're in charge of 24 sectors. I believe, this is my personal thing, this is Martin Zender talking, not scripture, but if there are 24 elders, I'm assuming they preside over 24 sectors, 24 sections of the universe. And I believe that the universe is divided into 24 sectors. Now, the universe doesn't, I don't know what, is this right? I don't believe the universe goes on and on and on and on and on. I think that the universe we're being described here, we're being told about here, has 24 sections that are limited. It stands to reason, if you're speaking of 24, you're not talking about 25, are you? So you're not talking about an eternal number, you're not talking about eternal sectors, and you're not talking about an eternal succession of elders sitting on thrones in charge of these various portions of the universe. And they're saying this, worthy is the Lamb can slain to get power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature, wow, wait a minute, I went an extra page, sorry. That was good stuff, but I just went over two pages. So the 24 elders, here we go. And out of the throne, this is verse 5, Revelation 4, are issuing lightnings and voices and thunders, and seven torches of fire are burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne if a being was always a spirit, I could understand calling it spirits. But I came to be in spirit. We're going to look into this later. I'm really getting sidetracked again because I'm sticking with this universal but this is the universal convocation. It's not like I'm getting off of Hebrews, because this is the universal convocation, probably spoken of there, that is going to gather around at the inauguration of the trials of the tribulation that's going to eventually bring Israel. And that's how huge this is. And as I told you, we're going to be there. Are you kidding? Do you think we're not going to be there? People get upset. I want to be on the earth. I want to see this stuff. I'm going to miss everything if I'm in heaven. You're not. We're going to be part of the body of Christ, and we're going to be snatched away before this universal convocation. So we're going to be presiding over we are going to be presiding over this universal convocation, because we are going to be ruling and reigning over these 24 ancient ones who run the freaking universe. All right, stick that in your pipe and smoke it. And we're going to get back here tomorrow, because that's enough for you for today. Put that in your pipe, take a few puffs of it, blow a smoke ring, and stop back here tomorrow for more of the same.